Masechta Sovis begins with the Seder HaMasor, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, etc. And the Bar Tanur raises a very strong question. Why does this Mishnah appear here, tucked away in the middle of Nezikin? It should be at the beginning of all the Shisha Sedre Mishnah that we're going to present the Torah Shabbat Peh. And everything is a tradition. The whole Torah Shabbat Peh is about Masor of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he answers, anybody who's learning Mishnayos obviously subscribes to the idea that Torah Shabbat Peh is Bera Shemayim. But the Chiddush is that even Masechta Sovis, which is about ethics, and it's usually called the ethics of our fathers, means that the rabbis invented these ideas of ethics. So one might have thought that these are original ideas. There's no Masor on this, just like philosophers and ethicists from other nationalities also wrote books on ethics. So the Mishnah tells us, Kamash Malan, no, the ethics by the Jewish people is also Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. This is also Masor. This is part of the tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's the Bir Hagro on Masechta Sovis. And every Mishnah, it just gives you the Mokher in Tanakh. Sometimes the Mokher is in Chumash, sometimes in Nevi'im, and most of the time in Suvim, and Mishle, and Tehillim, and so on. He gives you the Mokher for everything. In fact, there are some editions of the Bir Hagro and others where they give us an introduction to the Bir Hagro. They comment by quoting the opening Rashi in Bava Kamma, that Rashi writes, Arbavas Nezikin, what are Ovis and Ovis Mechalaldika told us? Okay, so why are those called Ovis? Those are called told us. So Rashi writes in the opening Mishnah, Ovis Koyal Hanach Tichsibin Behedye Bekro. The Ovis are those that appear in Chumash. And the toldos are those that are so similar to the Av. It has the same din, Amamotzin, it has the same din as the Av. Ovis is an expression that means, it says in Tanakh. So that's why this is called Masechus Ovis, not of the ethics of the fathers. The Ovis don't mean the Tanoim, the fathers who developed these ideas. These were not developed by the Tanoim. This is all a Masorah of Torah Shabbat Peh based on Psukim in Tanakh. And the whole thing is called Ovis because everything says in Tanakh. That's the introduction that appears in other editions of the Bir Hagro that appears before the whole Bir Hagro begins. It's interesting, the Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah writes the Seder HaMasor from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua Ben Nun all the way down till Ravina Rav Ashi, 40 generations, in 1, 2, 3, up until Mem, till 40. And he doesn't continue past that. The Meiri, in his introduction to Masechta Sovis, has the same listing as the Rambam from Moshe Rabbeinu till Ravina Rav Ashi, and then he goes through the days of the Rabbanan Saveroi and the Gaonim until he received the Torah from his father received it from so-and-so and so-and-so. He goes another few generations. The Rambam could have done the same as well. How come the Rambam only stopped at Ravina Rav Ashi? So the Pashtus Rav Soloveitchik thought, he didn't say in connection with this one, he thought that the Ikar Seder HaMasor was only up until the days of Ravina Rav Ashi. Why? So the Pashtus is, his father Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, my father told me this over from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that the Ikar Masor up until Ravina Rav Ashi, because that's when the Torah Shabbat Peh was being transmitted Baal Peh. The din was supposed to be based on the Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, the Dvarim Shebichsav Yatarash Shal Yomer Baal Peh, and Dvarim Shebaal Peh Yatarash Shal Yomer Bichsav. The Ikar din really goes, Tosfos says, Takasha, how can it be? Dvarim Shebichsav, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh. We say Ashvi Yeshvi Visecha Baal Peh. We say Kriya Shema Baal Peh. We say Yoz Yoshi Baal Peh. Even if you read it from the Seder, it's also called Baal Peh. Baal Peh means unless you read it from a Sefer Torah. Anything less than a Sefer Torah is called Kriya Baal Peh. So not only is it a question, how can you say Kriya Shema from memory, how can you read it from a Siddur? It's also called Baal Peh. And some people recite every day the Parshas HaKetores, because the Gemara says that one who's Makta Ketores is his Gula Vashiris. Sir Ketor B'Hapecha, Baruch Hashem Chelo, Pasuk says. So they want to recite the Ketores, and whoever learns the Parshas HaKarbonis, Kila Ikur Karbonis, so it's his Gula Vashiris. Okay. So they want to recite the Ketores, so they have a klaf and they have the Parshas HaKetores written. I don't understand why they need a klaf. It's the same reading from a printed chumash. It's the same thing as reading from a klaf, unless you have a Sefer Sholem of Sefer Shmos. They have a whole Sefer Shmos written on a klaf. That's called Kriya Mitorech HaKetores. But if you're reading from a klaf that only has parshas haktoris, you don't accomplish anything. I don't understand. They quote that some gedolim endorsed it. They say the chazanish endorsed it. I don't know. I understand. It seems to be against the gemara. You're not allowed to write less than a sefer shalom. And to write on a klaf parshas haktoris, same as printing in a siddur. So what do you need the whole klaf for? It just costs a lot of money. So the the Tosis raises that question. How come we recite Kriya Shema Baal Peh? So the different answers given. So the Vilna Gaon, on the side of the Gemara in Temura, the Vilna Gaon writes, and the same thing in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Kriya Shema, it says you can recite Kriya Shema Baal Peh. So the Vilna Gaon thinks that the Iker answer to the question is that din in the Gemara, Dvarim Shabbasav, Yata Rosh Aliyam and Al Peh, Dvarim Shabbat Peh, Yata Rosh Aliyam, that really goes when you're transmitting the Torah to somebody else. That pasuk goes, when the Baal Kori is laying Kriyas HaTorah, he has to lay in every word mitoch haksav, he shouldn't say from memory. Sometimes the Bar Mitzvah boy, so sometimes the Baal Kori knows the Parsha so well, he sees one word and he can say the rest of the pasuk by heart, he can say the whole Parsha by heart. I remember, had a chavrusa, he once had a lame Parshas by Yishlach, I think he told me by Yishlach is the longest sedra. So we were walking to shul, so he was saying the whole Parsha with the drop Baal Peh. He knew all the Parsha is Baal Peh. So when you're laying, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh. And when you give a shiur, you're not supposed to read from a Mishnah, you're supposed to read from a Gemara, a Rambam, or a Shulchan Aruch, and give a shiur based on a text. When you're transmitting Torah Shabbat Peh, you're supposed to transmit it Baal Peh, not supposed to transmit it Mitochah. There really isn't an Isser to say Dvarim Shebichsav Baal Peh, and there's no Isser to write down the Torah Shabbat Peh either. The Rambam writes that even in the earlier generations, when the Gemara was not yet written down, they used to write Megillah story. The Gemara says Matzos and Megillah story. They used to write down notes whenever someone sat over Halacha Moshe Messina, and they were afraid they're going to forget that someone came up with a Chiddush in Torah Shabbat Peh. They would write it down to make sure they don't forget it. The Heta to write down Torah Shabbat Peh was in later generations. The Gemara says Islas Lashem, Afera Torah Secho. So I was a mutter to write down the Megillah story. The answer is, it was never asked to keep notes, just like it was never prohibited to recite Torah Shebichsav Baal Peh. It only goes on Big Malamed Lacher. And this Bir Agro, this has been elaborated upon by others as well. Rav Chaim Zimmerman was a great goyin. He passed away years ago. He was a nephew of Rav Baruch Ber, and he learned here by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and then he became the Rosh Hashim in Skokie. And that's the first sefer that he printed. It's called Binyan Halacha on the Rambam. It was printed before Rab Chaim came out. So some of the things are the same as Rab Chaim has. He didn't steal it from Rab Chaim. He printed it before the Chedusha Rab Chaim on the Rambam was printed. And he said the same as Rab Chaim. So he has a long piece on, not only does he have Divrei Torah on the Rambam, he has on the Hakdamas Rambam, the Mishnah Torah. So when the Rambam talks about this din of transmitting the Torah Shebaal Peh, Baal Peh, so he has this whole Divrei Torah. That it's like the Bir Agro, it's really a din in transmitting Torah Shabbat Peh. So the most of the history books assume, and most of the Acharitim assume as well, that even though Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi edited the Mishnayos, it was still not written down. The Mishnayos was still being recited Baal Peh till the days of Ravina Rav Ashi. That's when they gave the Heter. Rashi on the Gemara says not so. Rashi says that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote down the Mishnayos, and Ravina Rav Ashi wrote down the Gemara. But now it's assumed otherwise. It's assumed that the Heter to write down the Mishnayos came in the days of Ravina Rav Ashi, and the Heter to write down the Gemara was way later. They have the documents, they have the correspondence. It was in the days of the Gaonim, there was a big dispute whether they should write down the Gemara or not. And they finally wrote it down. It's a mazel that they won. Those they said they should write it down. If they wouldn't have written it down, everything would have been lost. By the time it was written down, there's so many sfeikas, not sure. Ravina said it, Rav Ashi said it. So many different lashonis in the Gemara. If Ravina Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara, so how could it be a sofik who said it? Obviously, it was being transmitted orally. It was only written down generations later, in the days of the Goyim, and then it was also a machloikas whether it should be written down. So the Rambam apparently thinks that the Ika Masor, the Torah Shabbat Peh, is up until the days of Rabbi Rav Ashi, when the Torah Shabbat Peh, when the Mishnayos were written down, they started learning from a written text. There's still a Masor of Torah Shabbat Peh, but it's not as strong as in the earlier generation. So that's why the Gemara has a Loshen in the end of, towards the second half of Bab Metzian, Daf Pei Vav, Daf Pei Ei, Daf Pei Vav. The Gemara talks about the Sifra Shal Odom Arishon. It says in Parshas Bereishis, Zeh Sefer told us Adam, B'yom Baro Alekim, Adam al Ha'aretz. So what does it mean, Zeh Sefer told us Adam? The Chumash is a book of the history of mankind. It's very poorly written. If it's intended to be a history book, we say, Ein Mukdam Amiyuchah Ba'Torah. It's not in chronological order. It's in a logical order. So how do you write a history book not in chronological order? The answer is, it does, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, and over there in Bav Metzia'ah Daf Peh, Zeh Sefer told us Adam is a reference to Sifra Shalodim Arishan. It doesn't mean the Chumash is a history book. It means that HaKadosh Baruch showed Adam Arishan the day he was born, Dor Dor B'Dosha, Dor Dor B'Chachamav, Dor Dor B'Sofra. He showed him, HaKadosh Baruch is pulling the strings from behind the scenes to lead history in the direction that he wants it, to lead general history, to lead Jewish history, and to lead the development of Torah Shabbal Peh in the direction that he wants it. So in that book that he showed Adam Arishan, so it mentions there, the Gemara there in Bava Metzia'ah tells a story about Rav Shmuel. The Rav Shmuel were both learning in Eretz Yisrael, and they both felt obligated to go to Babel to establish yeshivas, because there was very little learning. The people were pious, but they were not learning, so they were making mistakes in Basa B'Cholav, and in Davening, and in Hilchas Shabbos. They didn't know the dinim. And they both left Eretz Yisrael, and each one went to a different city in Babel. Each one established a big yeshiva. The Gemara says, the beginning of Git, Michiasa, Rav Lebabel. After Rav came to Babel, everything was different. He introduced so many takonis and zeris and siogim, like in Europe, in 150 years ago. They were very pious Jews who lived on a farm, Yeshuvanikis, and they were big Amaratzim. They were very pious, but they didn't know how to read Hebrew. They didn't know how to read a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. They didn't know any Dinim. So they were always making mistakes. They make jokes, all the Yeshuvanik jokes. All the stories they tell about the Yeshuvanikis, they're very pious. Like before Pesach, we always tell over one of them that the Yeshuvanik made the Seder. So before Karpas, he washes his hands and says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Makena Malach Olam, Shikat Hashanah, B'mitzayis V'tzivonu. So they asked him, what's that all about? So he says, in Haggadah, you wash your hands and you don't say, Allah Tilus Yadayim. So he followed the instructions. He thought it means, he said the bracha up until, you don't say the last three words. To have 1,000 stories like that, about maybe it never happened, but they were very pious people, but they were big Amaratzim. So that was in the days of Rabbi Shmuel. Today, if you deal with people, you've got to make more gzeris. They won't want to observe anything. But in the days of the Amoraim, when they made Xeris, the people would listen to the Xeris, and this would bring them back to religious observance. So the Gemara says there that before Rab left to Bavel, so he got smicha from Rabbi Yonanos, and then Shmuel also wanted to get smicha, and every day something else came up, and then the boat was leaving, so he had to leave, and never got smicha. Rabbi Yonanos felt bad why he never gave him smicha, so someone told Rabbi Yonanos, don't feel bad. That's what it says in Sifra Shalot Amarishan. It's going to be in one generation, two friends, Rav and Shmuel. Rav is going to get smicha. His real name was Abba. Rav was because he got smicha. They called him Rav. And the other one, Shmuel, will not have smicha, but they'll both be Marbitzei Torah. So in that Sifra Shalot Amarishan, the Gemara quotes over their snippets after they tell the story about Rav and Shmuel when they came to Bavel. So they have another line from the Sifra Shalot Amarishan that's quoted in Choshe Mishpat, Simen Chafei. Simen Chafei is the simen about, that's the most complicated sugya in Maseches Sanhedrin, is about Torah B'shik al Adas. If there was a Din Torah and the Bezin made a mistake, so there's a Torah B'dvar Mishnah and often a mistake, and a Torah B'shik al Adas that's not as terrible as a Torah B'dvar Mishnah. So in Choshe Mishpat they have all the din, and when does the Bezin have the right to reverse the Psak? And when they can't reverse the psak, when is the bezin obligated to pay from their pocket to make good because they made a mistake? When are they not mechuyev? Long, long discussions, long discussions in Choshe Mishpat, very long shachts over there. So the Ramah has in Simen Chafei the following statement. Ramah lived in the 1500s and is quoting earlier poskim from earlier centuries, that if you live in the present generation and you have a tshuva from the Goyim and you think that they're wrong, do you have a right to paskin against them? So he said, you may be making a major mistake, so you better consult with your contemporaries and present to them what the Goyim said and what you say, and present your rayas. And if they all agree that you are right, so then he says, you have a right to paskin against the Goyim. You have a right to paskin against Rishonim, even against Goyim, but you can't paskin against the Gemara. So the Bi'ur Agra writes, that's what it means, that line in the Sifra Shalot HaMarishan that's quoted there in Bava Metzia'ah on Daf Behe, that it says Rabina Ravashi Soif Hayrua. That's the end of the period of Psak. What do you mean Soif Hayrua? The people alive today are still paskening shilas. I'm Moshe Feinstein paskening a lot of shilas. Everyone paskening shilas. Means that's the end of the Iker Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh. Hayrua is only on Torah Shebal Peh. Someone paskening after Lake Tefillin today, that's not called the Hayrua. Hayrua is only on in the area of Torah Shebal Peh. So the Iker Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh was up until the days of Rabbini Rav Ashi when they were transmitting the Torah Shebal Peh, Bal Peh. They weren't giving a shiur from a text. They were reciting Mishnah. Even after Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi edited the Mishnah, so they were still reciting the Mishnah orally. They weren't teaching from a text. After the days of Rabbi Rav Ashi, there's also a Masorah, how to understand the dinim, which dinim to put together and which dinim are not the same. But that's not as strong as the Masorah from before. So that's why the Ramah has this klal. The Amoraim have a right to disagree with Tanoim, but the Goyim have no right. Nobody has a right to disagree with the Maskon and the Gemara. If you're on the same front of the days of Yeshua ben Nun until the days of Rabbi Rav Ashi, Al Pidin, everybody had the same level of Balei HaMasorah. It doesn't make sense to go argue with Yeshua ben Nun. If he was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, Mestama he knew better than you. You know all the logic in the world. You're Rabbi Rav Ashi, Al Pidin, you have the same level as Chachmei HaMasorah as Yeshua ben Nun. Well, Mestama he knew better. We assume probably in earlier generations they had traditions from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's not a smart idea to go disagree with them. It's not that their sakha is more correct. But strictly speaking, Al Pidin, the later Chachamim, until the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi, have the same status of Chachmei HaMasorah as the Tanoim and as Yeshua ben Nun as well. The Rambam writes like that in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. He writes that Bez Nagoro Shibushalayim, they are the Iker Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh. And the din is, in every generation, whoever is a chacham, shigiel hayra, is allowed to express, obligated to express his honest to goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with those who preceded him, who were greater than him in learning, provided that he's entitled to an opinion. That's a big question. Who's entitled to an opinion? In every generation, there are people who write svarim. Sifri Shalos Tshuvos, they don't know what they're talking about. They thought that they were God's gift to the world. They're not entitled to an opinion at all. They keep on printing Kisvei Yad from the days with the Balei HaTosfos. They're utterly ridiculous. They're stupid against Gemaras, against Pesukim and Chumash. They shouldn't print it. They should have left it in the Shemus and Shoyim. So that's what the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. So the Kes Mishnah there, the first Kes Mishnah in Hilchas Mamrim, is bothered with Akasha very often, and Amora will make a statement, and the Gemara will say, how can he maintain such an opinion? It's against the Braisa, it's against the Mishnah. So the Gemara said, Tiyufta, he's wrong. So why is it a Tiyufta? If you say that Ein Lucha L'Shefet Shebi Amecha has a right to disagree with the Tanoim, Amoraim should have the right to disagree with Tanoim. Why do we assume they have no right to disagree with Tanoim? So the Kesem Mishnah says, no, strictly speaking, they do have a right to disagree. From the days of Yeshua ben Nun till the days of Rabbi Rav Ashi, everybody is Al Pidin, the same level of Chachmei HaMasorah. Those who are after have no right to disagree because they have a lower level of status of Chachmei HaMasorah. But from Yeshua ben Nun till Rabbi Rav Ashi, they all have a right to express their opinion and even in disagreement with those who preceded them. But if they can see this tzad and that tzad, and they think it makes more sense in this direction, then you tell them, but all the Tanoim say the other way. So their attitude would be, okay, we're going to give in to all the Tanoim because we can see both tzadim. It makes sense this way, it makes sense that way. There's a Ramah in Yerideya. In the third Chelik Yerideya, there's a siman about Kibur Aviyem, a Reish Mem. Then there's a siman about Kvot Tamir HaChamim. Then there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch about Haruah Sisavahet. How do you pass on the Shaila? When can you ask another Chacham? And so on. So the Ramah writes there in the siman about Haruah Sisavahet that a Talmid Chacham who's a Gil or Haruah, if he's entitled to an opinion, is allowed to express his opinion, even Lahokel, even if it's only based on a slight Netiyas Hadas. He's not 100% convinced. He thinks that it makes more sense this way than that way. So a slight Netiyas Hadas is enough to be Mekel on a Din Derais. When it comes to Din in the Foshes, that's not enough. When it comes to Din in the Foshes, we have a Pasuk, V'hitzilu Ho'eda. So V'hitzilu Ho'eda means that the Bezin should bend over backwards to be lenient for the person who is being judged. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Daf Samach Tesem and Aleph Yitzilu Eida has means that the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshetz Behem and Darshanik Psukim is different in the area of Din and Nefashim. You have to bend over backwards to be Mekel. So there you have to be really convinced, fully convinced that the guy is Chayiv Misa. But in other areas of Halacha, you don't have to be 100% convinced. If you have a slight Netiyas Hadas, that's enough. So that's what the Kesem Mishnah says. When the Amoraim had an opinion, they can say A, they can see Tzad A and B, they can see both stories. But they thought that it makes more sense to say in one direction. Then you notify them, all the Tanoim say not like them. So then they'll give in to the other Tzad. That's the Gemara says that Rav Tanuhu Palik, Rav has the right to disagree with Tanoim. So in the Shiurim of Rav Chanan Wasserman, they quote that he asked the Akasha to Rav Chaim, that there's a Tosis in the first Perek in Ksubis, in the Sugya of Sheber Bochas, and Vav, Dav Zayin. So Tosis shows from the Gemara that Rav Tanuhu Palik, that was Rav's opinion, that he had the status of a Tani, had a right to disagree. Rav Yechanan was a contemporary of Rav. Rav Shmuel, Rav Yechanan, they all learned at the same time. Rav Yechanan held that Rav did not have the right to disagree. And we have a klal in Psak Halacha, Rav Rav Yechanan, Halachic Rav Yechanan. Whenever there's a machlekes Rav Rav Yechanan, he paskan like Rav Yechanan. So if the din is like Rav Yechanan, and Rav Yechanan is of the opinion that Rav has no right to disagree with Tanoim, Rav is not a Tanu Hupalik. How come every time the Gemara says Rav Tanu Hupalik, we always paskan like Rav? It should be like Rav Yechanan, that Rav did not have the right to disagree. So that's what Rav Chanan Wasserman asked Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So they quote there, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik answered, even if he's an Amara, strictly speaking, an Amara has a right to disagree also. He's convinced that the din is like this. You have a right to disagree with the Tanoim. The Vilna Gaon never disagreed with Maskana Sagmar. The Vilna Gaon very often would disagree with Rishonim. After the days of Ravina Ravashi, everybody's in the same category of Chachmei HaMasor. It's a lower level. So that's why the Rambam only gives the Seder HaMasor. The Meiri gives the Seder HaMasor till he got the Torah from his father. His father learned it by Pliny, and he goes all the way back till Ravina Ravashi. And then he gives it the 40 generation that the Rambam gave. But the Rambam wasn't giving history. The Rambam gives Al Pidin, the Seder HaMasorah, the Iker Seder HaMasorah. It's only till the days of Ravina Ravashi. Anshei Knesses HaGdoyla, the Mishnah quotes, had these three mottos, Heimam Mishlosh Advarim, Asei Siog LaTorah, Asu Siog LaTorah. This is based on the pasuk, the concluding pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mos, Ushmatem is Mishmarti. Here the Batanur quotes it, Asu Mishmeres leMishmarti. That's a Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Chaf Aleph. Ushmatem is Mishmarti, Asu Mishmeres leMishmarti. Asay Siog Latur. Why did the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla say that? So the Balatanya has a very interesting drosha in the collection of droshas on Rosh Hashanah in the Likutei Torah. Kutei Torah is a collection of all the drushas of the Bala Tanya. Rav Soloveitchik used to say he can't imagine how Rabbanim can prepare a sermon for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur without using the Likutei Torah. Okay, there are many rabbis who do, but that was his practice. He was brought up in a Lubavitcher village, so he was used to using the Likutei Torah. So the Alter Rebbe quotes there that in yesterday's Seder in Parshas Amor, it describes Rosh Hashanah as Zichron Truah. In another place in Chumash, Rosh Hashanah is described as Yom Truah. So the Gemara said, isn't it a contradiction? Is it a day on which you actually blow Shofar, Yom Truah? Is it a day on which you talk about Tkiyah Shofar? Zichron Truah, Lahaskir, to talk about it. So the Gemara first says, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, it's a Zichron Truah. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on the weekdays, then it's a Yom Truah. Then the Gemara says, no, but that's only a din with the Rabbanim, Gzer Shem Avirenu. It's not a din deraisa. So the Gemara says, it's only Gzer the Rabbah. Fine. Not that Rabbah introduced the Gzer, Rabbah explained the reason for the Gzer. So when was the Gzer made? Historically, when was the Gzer introduced? So one of the Achronim from the 1700s writes in the Halachas Ketanis, Maharam Chagiz writes in the Sefer Halachas Ketanis, he thinks the Gzer was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. All the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the first Rosh Hashanah after Maimon HaSinai fell out on Shabbos, based on the Gemara says that Maimon HaSinai was on Shabbos, and Shabbos is going to be the same day as next Rosh Hashanah, a whole calculation, and he said that's why the Torah calls that Rosh Hashanah Zichron Truah, because there already was a Gzera from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Baal HaTanya alludes to this idea that some say, he doesn't say who, some say that the Gzera was made already in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. He said that's utterly ridiculous. We know that all these Gzeras were made in the Baal Sheni period. And he quotes from Kabbalah sources that in the Baal Rishon, since the Jewish people had an independent Jewish government, so based on Kabbalah sources, they say the Yetzirah had less of a shlita over the Jewish people. So therefore, there wasn't such a great need to make harchokas and siyog, ma'aseh siyog la'Torah. But in the beginning of Baal Sheni, for a few centuries, they didn't have any independent Jewish government until the Hashmonaim rebelled against the Yevonim, and they established the Malchus HaHashmonaim. So the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah were the beginning of the Baal Sheni period. So that's why there was a need for so many Gzeiras the Rabbanim during the Baal Sheni period. Very interesting concept. What are the other two things that the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, they had three models, and the third one was Aseh Siyog Later. The first one was having Mesunim Badin, that when you're Paskan Hashayda, you shouldn't Paskan 1, 2, 3. You should be thinking about it for a while. Here in the yeshiva, the practice used to be whenever they used to have a Chag HaSmicha, so Dr. Belkin would speak for a few minutes, and then he would introduce Rav Soloveitchik, he would give a long drushin. So I remember on one occasion he was giving a charge to the young besmachim that they shouldn't paskin any shailas over the telephone. When someone calls up with a shaila, you have to take down their number and say, I'll call you back. You have to look it up in the Shulchan Aruch. And he said, if you paskin right away on the telephone, that's a violation of heaven mesunim adin. Then he mentioned that it says in Achreinim, it's in the Prima Godim, but the Pizkei Tshuva and Yeridei quotes it. In the Siman about Haros Issa Beheta, that there's a din of Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbi, you're not allowed to paskin in the presence of your Rebbe. The Gemara says, even in elementary Shaila, the Gemara says, Afil Beisa Bekutcha, even to paskin that an egg is not fleshig, that you're allowed to cook milk in the same pot together with eggs. Everybody knows that eggs are part of it. You're not allowed to paskin that either. Halacha, Moira Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. Taisa says, how can it be? That's a little ridiculous. Taisa makes it slightly complicated. But basically, you're not allowed to paskin anything in the presence of the Rebbe. So who's the Rebbe? So in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have Svarim. So they used to have a concept of a Rebbe, Rav Chachmas Emenu. The person, Rabbi Muvik, is the one from whom I learned Rav Chachmasi, the majority of my Torah. So the Balei HaTosfos already write that Bizman HaZeh, Rav Chachmasa is from Svarim. So the Prima Gaon writes this idea that if you have Svarim in your library, you're not allowed to paskin without opening up the Sefer. That's Mayra Halacha Bifnei Rabbah. Because Bizman HaZeh, the Svarim are the Rabbi Muvak. So Rav Soloveitchik said that over to the Musmachim, that to paskin 1, 2, 3 without looking it up, that's a violation of Heaven Mesunim Adin. And you have to look it up in the Sefer. Even though you think you remember it, you should look it up. Because that's Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. Then the next thing, the second of the three models was Hamidu Tamidim Harbe. So the Obizur Amnosan elaborates upon this and explains what does it mean, Hamidu Tamidim Harbe, that throughout the generation there was an ongoing debate. The Gemara quotes that Rabbi Gamliel was a chief rabbi and he was very strict and he made everybody fall in line. No one's allowed to disagree with him. And on a few occasions, he was a little too strict, and they finally decided they can't take it anymore, so they fired him. The Masala came, and they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. He was only was young, he was only 17, and then he turned white overnight, and he says, Harani kevein shimshon, I look like I'm 70 years old. He was only 17, the Gemara says. So one of the first things they did was that they had, in the days of Rabbi Gamliel, the Tanoim had a yeshiva that was sponsored by the chief rabbinate. He was a chief rabbi. And they only allowed in those Talmidim who were Tocho Kibaro, those who were interested in learning, very purely motivated, L'shem Shamayim, very big tzaddikim. And this was an ongoing debate. And when they fired him and Rabbi Elazar ben Azari took over, so he followed the other opinion. You open up the gates and you let whoever wants to come into the yeshiva, you let him come in. You don't let in Mechalei Shabbos, you don't let in Bali Aver, but it does not have to be Tocho Kibaro. That was an ongoing debate going on generation after generation. So that's what the Tanoim said, Anshe Knesset HaGedolah said, Hamida Tamidim Harbe, let everybody come into the Beis HaMikdash. You shouldn't be so makbid on the Tocho Kibaro. In Europe they had this, Rav Soloveitchik, in Europe they had this machlokes also. Some yeshivas only had, in fact they called it Yeshiva Lam Tzuyonim. There's a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael also called Yeshiva Lam Tzionim. There are the yeshivas in America. They only let in Mitzuyonim. And other yeshivas, they let everybody in. It pulls down the level of learning. The Mitzuyonim will not advance as far as they could have if they would have only been Mitzuyonim there. But you have to have the Mitzuyonim in order to have an influence on the weaker students. You have to have everybody learning together. So this was an ongoing debate throughout all the generations. The Rambam writes in three places in the Pirush HaMishnayos that sometimes there are issues in halacha that you don't give a final psak on. Sometimes an issue is of hashkofa like this, whether the yeshiva should only be, is it right to have a yeshiva only for elite, only for the mitzvayonim or not? So there are different opinions, so they left it like that. They never came to a final maskana. You have a Mishnah base. Hashlosh Adorim Ha'olam Ma'amid Ala Torah Ba'al Avoyda Ba'al Gemidus Chasarim. The opening pasuk in Bereshis Bor Lekimus Hashemaimus Ha'oretz. Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Bereshis Bishvil Reshis. The Torah is Nikras Reshis. So the Rabbanu Shalom created the world. Bereshis Bishvil Reshis Bishvil HaTorah. And other pasukim Avoyda Ba'al Gemidus Chasarim. The whole world exists because of these three things. At the end of the Perek, the last Mishnah says, Al Shlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Oimed. That's the Girsa here. The two Girsas, one Girsa, Ha'olam Kayom. And here it says, Ha'olam Oimed. Here it says, Al Adin Va'al Emes Va'al Shalom. Isn't it a contradiction? So the Mefarshim, the Bartanura says, suggestion, it's not really a contradiction. Others have the girsa and the last Mishnah, Shlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Kayom, instead of Ha'olam Ha'omid. The first, the Mishnah basis, Shlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Ha'omid, the Briyas Ha'olam was in order to lead to Bishvil Torah and Ikrus Reishas, Bishvil Avoida, Avoida means Hakloros, Hakorbanos, and Bishvil Gemilas Chasodim. The last Mishnah is saying, Shlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Kayom. There are three things that technically the world can't exist if you don't have these, but that's not the Tachlis of the Briyas. Tachlis of Briyas Torah Avoda Gemilas Chasodim, but the world technically can't exist unless you're going to have Emes Din and Shalom. You have to have justice. You have to have truth. You have to have peace. We don't have too much justice, truth, and peace. But if you have nothing, the world, the whole world is going to collapse. At least you have to have a little bit of these three things. So that's the Bartanura thing. So it's not really a contradiction. They're three different things. Chaim Volozhiner gave Droshes for the Balabatim on Pirkei Avos. So one of his descendants wrote it over. The comments, Ruach Chaim it's called. The comments of Rav Chaim Volozhiner on the Pirkei Avos. It's interesting. Historically, it was printed. Chaim Volozhiner had passed away, and his son, Rav Bitzalev Volozhiner, took over the head of the yeshiva. Rav Bitzalev passed away, so then he had sons-in-law. So one of his sons-in-law was the Netziv. Netziv was a young boy. He came to learn about Lashon before Bar Mitzvah, and he married one of the daughters of Rabbi Bitzala. The girl was older than him, much older than him, a few years older than him. And because he was not a direct descendant of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, so others, and he was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years. That's a long time. The Rosh Yeshiva Volozhiner lasted for 90 years, from something like 1802 to 1892. Then it was closed by, there was a big machlokes. The government kept on insisting they should introduce more and more secular studies. And finally, there was a big meeting of the Rabbanim. There was a machlokes whether it's better to have a yeshiva. The government would only allow them to learn a couple of hours, and then the Beis Medrash had to be locked at night and not too much learning and secular studies. So the Netziv and Rab Chaim married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So the Netziv and Rab Chaim, they insisted you have to close the yeshiva. And they closed the issue. So the Netziv was not a direct descendant of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He married the daughter of Rav Bitzalev. And there were those who were direct descendants, Tamid Chachamim, and they attempted to oust the Netziv, 39 years of being Rosh Yeshiva. So one of them was the descendant of Rav Chaim Volozhiner who wrote up the drushes on Pirkei Avos. But even though the drushes are written nicely and they're very beautiful, he didn't succeed in kicking out the Netziv. They have the pictures of the Netziv with the long payas on the side and the dreamy eyes. He looked like such a batlan. He looked like such a shlemiel. But he survived many attempted coups. He wasn't such a batlan. So the one who put out the drushes on Pirkei Avos put it out. It wasn't put out l'shem shemayim. It was put out in order to kick out the Netziv, but it didn't succeed. But it's a good sefer. Rocham is good. So on this Mishnah, he has a very interesting comment. Koidem Matan Torah, there were three different things that were independent. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasodim. So let's say, for example, the bank will lend you a large sum of money at 10% interest. So you come to me and you say, could you do me a favor? Lend me this $100,000 at 5% interest. So if I lend, instead of 10% in the banks, I'm doing you a gemilas chesed. I'm lending you at 5% instead of 10%. After the Torah was given, that's also forbidden. So the gemilas chesedim has to be according to the rules and regulations of the Torah. That's also an isa ribis. And avoda also, hakrovas hakarbonis, kodem matan Torah, you can make a bama wherever you want. You could be makar v'chaya, you could be makar v'balmum, you can be makar of all kinds of animals. After the Torah was given, so the avoda is not regulated, hakrovas hakarbonis is not regulated by the Torah. So kodem matan Torah, these three ideas, the purpose of the Bria, Torah, avoda, gemilas chesedim, each one was independent. After matan Torah, the two of Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim have to be regulated by the Torah. It's an interesting point to keep in mind. If the Matan Torah, the Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim have to be regulated by the Torah. Rabbi Chaim Elojan has a very beautiful comment on Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Dalet says, you should always try to have the Talmid Chachamim visit in your home. What do you mean, Misabek Ovok? Is dust. Having misabek b'afar raglayim literally means you should roll in the dust of afar raglayim. We say that in the days of the Rishonim, one of the Rishonim before the days of, I think, one of Rashi's Rabbeim would roll in the, with his clothes on. He would roll in the dust in the floor in the Beis Medrash to fulfill what it says in the Mishnah. Literally, having misabek b'afar raglayim. But Rab Chaim Elojan has a very interesting interpretation over here. It says, "Vayyovik ishima adalois hashach." Vayyovik means to wrestle with each other. So he says, you should listen to the Talmid Chachamim. You have a right to disagree with them. You have a right to wrestle with them. But if you want to disagree, you have to disagree with their acheretz. Have him istabek ba'afar raglayim. You should realize that you're ofer tachas kapas raglayim. But if you want to disagree, that's you're entitled to disagree. So it's interesting, the Netziv, in his commentary on the Shultz, which he wrote when he was a teenager, in one place he wants to disagree with the Chasam Sefer. So he writes an expression about whether reciting Chanukah and whether reciting Halal on Chanukah is deraisa. The Chasam Sefer has a tshuva where he writes a big chiddush that Halal on Chanukah is a din deraisa. So the Netziv shows from a Gemara in Brochas Daf Yudalit. So it's fair, Halal on Chanukah is only the Rabban. So it's a kasha, the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer deal with the kasha, so they defend the Chassam Sofer. But the Netziv wants to disagree. So he refers to the Chassam Sofer, he writes, Hagoyen v'hatzadik, a Chassam Sofer, writes in the tshuva that Halal Achanak is the rice, and he said, with all due respect, he disagrees. He doesn't usually refer to him as Hagoyen v'hatzadik, but if he's disagreeing with him, then he has to call him Hagoyen v'hatzadik. That's like I said, having misabek, ba'afar raglayim. You have a right to disagree, okay, but you should disagree with their acheretz. The next Mishnah had the famous line, Mishnah Hey has, Altar b'sichaim ha'isha, so the Rishonim have two interpretations, but it only goes, ishta nida, bizman she ishta nida. You can talk to your wife when she's in nida, but you shouldn't carry on idle conversation, sicha b'teilo. Altar b'sichaim ha'isha, when she's in nida. B'ishta yomru, his own wife. Kabuchame b'eshiz chaver. And other Rishonim say, no, Atar B'Sich Ma'isha means even when the Isha is Tahira, you shouldn't carry on conversations of the Dvar B'Telem. You should only talk things that are important, not Sicha B'Telem, because it's only going to lead to terrible things. Kalamar B'Sich Ma'isha, Garam Roli Atzmai, and so on. There are some Talmid HaChachamim who allow people to come close to them, they'll accept them as a Talmud if they'll give them a lot of money. So the Mishnah seems not to go with that way. The Mishnah involved has, Aseh lecha rav, aknei lecha chaver. You should pick yourself a Rebbe. You have to pick one Rebbe. You can't, I'm going to follow Rabbi Moshe Feinstein on this, I'm going to follow Rabbi Gifter on that, I'm going to follow Rabbi Soloveitchik on that, I'm going to follow Baruch Kotel on that. There's some people who are only looking for kulas, some people only looking for chumras. So we know that many Talmid Chacham have different opinions on different things. So then you're not following anybody. You're following your own opinion. So some, if you're entitled to an opinion, it's good. If you're a Chacham Shehigir Lohairoa, okay? So follow your own opinion. But most people are not a Chacham Shehigir Lohairoa. Today, Rabbi Bacha learns in yeshiva. He thinks he's entitled. He knows how to read Rashi's script without Nekudas, so he thinks he's entitled to an opinion. He knows how to read the Mishnah Berurah, so he thinks he knows how to pass on a Shabbat. We don't always follow the Mishnah Berurah. And you'll read the whole page in the Mishnah Berurah. You think you got it all straight? No, but there's another simon in another place that there's another issue in your case that you didn't realize. You won't always find all the answers on the page where you think the answer is. It may be that there's another Shaila that's discussed in a different place in Shulchan Aruch. So if one is a Chacham Shegir Lohairoa, doesn't have to follow his Rebbe, but if one is not Higir Lohairoa, then he has to pick out one Rebbe. The Gemara says, Beishamai Bisila had different opinions, so the Gemara says, the one who follows the Chumas of Beishamai, the Chumas of Bisila, is Aksil Bachosha Choylech, he's a fool. What does he go with the both Chumas? Either you're a Talmud of Beishamai, Talmud of Bisila. Unless you don't know, the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva was Machmed, as Machloike is Beishamai Bisila, when is Rosh Hashanah the Ilonis? So Beishamai hold it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the Bisila hold that it's Tu B'Shvat. So Rabbi Akiva was Machmed in both directions. When again, is it Maiserani? Is it the Yimafrish Maiserani or the Yimafrish? Is it Maisersheni year or Maiserani? Is it the second year or the third year of the Shemitah cycle? So the Gemara asked, how does the Machmel like both sheets? Tzabzil b'chosh ha'chaylech. The Gemara asked in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says no, because there was two versions, which was Basila's opinion. We knew there was Machlekes B'Shamay and Basila, but there were two versions. Whether Basila holds that it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, or Beishamai holds Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So since we're not sure what the din is, we're not sure what the Beis Hillel will say. So that's why Rabbi Kiva went lechum in both directions. But if we know that it's, we know who said what. We know the din is like Beis Hillel. So you follow Beis Hillel. You're a Talmud of Beishamai, follow Beishamai. Okay. Talmidim of Beishamai, follow Beishamai. As far as everybody else is concerned, you're supposed to follow Beis Hillel because you're a Basarai. If you're a Talmud of Beishamai, you follow Beishamai Shita. You don't have to follow the Rav. The Rav doesn't apply. If you're a Talmud of a Chacham Shegir Lohairoa, you follow all of his psokim. You don't have to worry about the fact that there are those who disagree. So the Mishnah recommends, Aseh lecha rav, you have to pick a rav. So the Gemara says there, if you do like the Chumas of Bisham, the Chumas of Bishilo, you're Aksil Bachar Shecholach, that's foolish. If you do the Kulas of Bisham, the Kulas of Bishilo, you're a Rasha, meaning you're not following anybody. You just want to be Mekel on everything. So I know Rav Moshe is Mekel on this, and Rav Moshe Mekel, I know Rabbi Soloveitchik was Mekel on that, and Rabbi Rudiman was Mekel on that, so I'm always following a Poisek. But it's full of steers, you're not following anybody, it's a fake.
How does one balance when they have, let's say, a parent or a masor from a family that only talks about certain things, and they have a Rebbe who fills in the blanks with what the family doesn't have a masor for, but sometimes there's a stira. So let's say, for instance, the family doesn't talk about what types of a hilchos erev and the chumras and the kulas, because they don't talk about that. But a family says, oh, we don't wear tehillos, or we do wear tehillos, or the family says, we don't make tiyan shabbos, we do make tiyan shabbos, or something even more halachic than that, that's not really a minhag. Does one follow the family masorah for psak as opposed against the Rebbe, or if one has a Rebbe who he follows, should he go against the family's psak?
See, the two different things there, minhagim, and then there are dinim. So the dinim, you follow your Rebbe Muvik. So usually the children follow the same Rebbe Muvik that the parents follow. Not always. Let's say the parents follow the local Orthodox rabbi in the shul, and then the student goes to the yeshiva and he becomes so close to the Rebbe. He learns by the Rebbe a few years, so then he feels that the Rebbe in the yeshiva says Rebbe Muvik. Or let's say a person a person lived in one community and followed the rabbi in that community on everything. Then he gets married, he moves to different communities. He gets a different rabbi moving. So he follows the other person in life. He move on in life. Sometimes I have different rabbi moving. So when it comes to Piske Halacha, each one has Seilach HaRav. Each one should follow his Rebbe Muvak on all different issues, on all different shadows that come up. Minhagim is a different thing. Minhagim, the Gemara says, a minig, the way we read the Gemara, the way it says in Yerudah, a minig is binding mitam neder. So there's a minig ha-yochid, then there's a minig ha-tzibur. Apparently we assume that there are two types of shvua. There's a shvua sa-yochid and there's a shvua sa-tzibur. Tzibur can take a shvua. And it's binding on all the members of that tzibur. So when, let's say, the Hasidim have a minig, or a certain kehilas have a minig, so whoever belongs to that tradition is a member of that tzibur, so the Nedorim, the Shuas of that tzibur are binding on him. But a person can switch. Let's say he lived in one community, and minig is Chveis today, is Pesach Sheni. So B'mikra happened to daven in the shtibul today. I davened at 7 o'clock minyan in the shtibul. So the shtibul, I wasn't thinking. So the shtibul doesn't say tachnun. Minig Sfard is that you don't say tachnun on Pesach Sheni. Minig Ashkenaz is that you do say tachnun on Pesach Sheni because it's not Pesach Sheni. It's a fake. Pesach Sheni is not a calendaric date. Pesach Sheni is a month after Hakrobas Pesach Rishon. Ideirov Hatzibah B'Tahara. So that we weren't makrid Pesach Rishon last month. Even Betuma, nobody brought a Pesach Rishon. So today's not really Pesach Sheni. So the whole thing is a mistake. So that by a minute, the Sfardim, the real Sfardim, and the Chassidim, I don't understand, the Chassidim picked up Nusach Sfard. They don't pick up Minik Sfard. This is Minik Sfard. It's not Nusach Sfard. Whether you say Taknan or not, that's a Minik Sfard. It's not a Nusach. Nusach Sfard is the davening. What days you say Taknan, what days you don't say Taknan. That's Menhagim already. So tell her, why in the Shtibel? Why by the Chassidim they don't say Taknan? They usually they follow Minik Ashkenaz, but they say Nusach Sfard. Two different things. So minhagim, let's say a person always belonged to a certain community. Then he moved, let's say, a yekin. They only wait 3 hours in between fleshings and milk. Then he moves to a different community. He doesn't plan to move back to his yekushi community. So goodbye. So he no longer, what do you mean? He no longer can wait 3 hours. If he moved to a community, but he only waited 1 hour, so he waits 1 hour. Then the community waits 6 hours. He has to wait 6 hours. Unless he davens now in a yekushi kehila where he moved. So if there's a Yekesh group over there, so he's still in a Yekesh environment. But if he moved to a community where there are no Yekes, so that's not a Minig HaYochid, that's a Minig HaTzibur. What Tzibur do you belong to? So the Gemara has like that. A person moves from one place to the other. If it's Daita Lachzor, so he has to still follow the old Minhag. It ain't Daita Lachzor, he belongs to the new community. So you have family Minhagim, mean the family still belongs, they have a shaykhus with the Hasidim, let's say, so they don't need gibroks. But then the children converted. They became a misnagdim. They're no longer a Hasidim. Or let's say a girl is brought up by the Ashkenazim, they don't eat kidneys. Then she marries a Sfardi. The Sfardim do eat kidneys. So the poskim assume it doesn't make sense that the husband and the wife belong to two different kehillas. They're married. How can it be the husband belongs to one kehillah and the wife belongs to another kehillah? So she's not allowed to eat kidney. He's allowed to. See, so you assume they belong to the same kehillah. So if the husband is a ger or a bal tshuva and he has no traditions at all, so he joins the wife's kehillah. If the husband and the wife both have traditions going back, so then usually we assume that the wife enters the reshus of the husband. Sometimes it's the reverse. The husband enters the minig of the husband enters the kehillah of the wife. So minhagim really depend. There are minhagi ha-yochid, that's each person. Then minhagi ha-tzibur. Minhagi ha-tzibur, that doesn't matter what the Rebbe's minig is. That's what tzibur you belong to. The piske halacha, that depends on which Rebbe you have. So usually the children will look up to the same Rebbe that the parents look up to. But not always. Not always. The parents look up to the local Orthodox rabbi, and the children who learned in the yeshiva, they look up to the rabbi in the yeshiva. It's not going to be the same. You can have, let's say, a Sfardi learns in Panovich, and learning he becomes like an Ashkenazi, and he wants to follow all the halachas of the Ashkenazim. He looks up to the Ashkenazim, but he still belongs to the Sfardi Shekela, so he should follow the Minhagim of the Sfardim, he should follow the Piske Halachas of the Ashkenazim. You can have the reverse. You can have the Rebbe is one, and the minig is the kehillah he belonged to was a different kehillah. It doesn't necessarily have to go together, minhagim. Let's say wearing tefillah l'chalamayit, that's not a question of a minig, that's a question of a din. So that you have to follow say l'charav. Whoever your Rebbe is for talamot and yalav yavo and hilchas nida and hilchas kashrus, so that's the same Rebbe for tefillah l'chalamayit.
How do we define kehillahs from minhagim? Like, do they apply to as well as that?
Yeah, today it's a big problem because people are flying around all over the place. I mean, people are moving. So years ago in Europe, they stayed for a generation. They stayed in the same community. That's a big issue. That's a big problem. Hasn't fully been worked out yet. Yeah.
In terms of psak halacha, what if one's rabbi is a das yachid in certain halacha? Does one still need to follow that rabbi?
If your rabbi is a chacham shigia laharai, is entitled to his opinion. So you, if you are to follow that Rebbe, you should follow that Rebbe, Bein Lahakul, Bein Lahachma, and everything, even though the Rabbim don't agree with him. That's as far as those who are neither Talmidim of this Rebbe nor that Rebbe, they should follow the Rabbim. The Balabatim are neither Talmidim of Bishama nor Beisilol, Salachik, the Rebbe Beisilol, because they're the Rabbim. But the Talmidim of Bishama, also Bishama Kidivim, the Gemara comes in the end of the first parak in Yevamos. Well, comes to the conclusion that Talmidim Bishama have to follow the Shita of Bisham, even though they were outvoted. They were outvoted as far as everybody else is concerned. But if that's my Rebbe Mubix, I follow his opinion. Thus, I'm not so convinced that my Rebbe was entitled to an opinion. A lot of Rabbanim are not entitled to an opinion, okay? They don't know all the Gemaras. You're talking that all the Talmid Chacham are looking with 20/20 vision. They all know what it says, and they still, he came to a maskana like this, they came to Maskana like that. So then if they're both Chochm Shigi Elo Hayro, so then each one has Talmidim. So Talmidim should follow their Rebbe.
What about like in Israel, where even the people that are staying put, you have some people that are, you know, they don't listen to the feed. And whoever gets up, that's the, they have whatever nusach they have. And everything's just a big mishmash. So what is...
It's right, nusach hatfila.
So okay. This is like one area where you can see that everything is just sort of mushed together.
It's a big question, because after the Industrial Revolution, everybody's traveling all over the place. Everybody's doing different things, and people don't live so long in one area. I don't know, that's a big issue. How do you determine what's the definition of a kehillah? So the Mishnah has a contrast. Aseh l'charav, it doesn't say k'nei l'charav. Aseh l'charav b'chinim, a k'nei l'chachavir. Even if it's going to cost you money, it's important to have chaverim. But if it's going to cost your Rebbe, if it's going to cost you money to become a Talmud of the Rebbe, so learn by an honest Rebbe. Don't learn by that Rebbe. Sometimes you have... They told me of a story that a guy bought a helm, and then he found hundreds of thousands of dollars stuffed in a mattress in the home. And he asked his Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, what should I do with the money? He says, give the money to my yeshiva. And he gave the money to his yeshiva. What kind of a Rebbe is that? Even if that would be the din, how can you say that? But especially it's not the din. How can you say such a thing? It's very strange. And the student didn't see anything strange about it. That's terrible. Then the Mishnah ends off, Habidan is kol ha'odnam lakav sechus. The other girsas, this appears in the Gemara in different places. Habidanis chavercha lekapschus. That's a big difference. Is it danis kol ha'adam lekapschus? Habidanis chavercha lekapschus. So the Chafetz Chaim discusses this in one of his svarim, and he says he thinks that the din is different. Habidanis chavercha. I know the person. I know the person for years. So I should be danim lekapschus, even if it seems the reverse. Even if by all indications it seems that he did something improper, but still I know the person very well, so I should be danhem lekapschus, even if it's the odds are 100-1 that he didn't do anything wrong. But if he's kol ha'adam, so then if the odds are 99-1, 100-1 that he did wrong, you don't have to bend over backwards lekapschus. If he's kol ha'adam, you don't really know him personally, so then you should always be dan lekapschus. But if the indication is otherwise, that you don't have a din to be done the kapschus. Ovis is in Seder Nezikin. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos why? Because many of these instructions apply. It's a Hemshech of Masechah Sanhedrin. Many of the instructions are telling Dayanim in the Din Torah how they should act. Or Talmid Chachamim, Rabbanim, who lead communities, how they have to lead the community. So there are a few Mishnahs here about Dinei Torah. So the Mishnah is Geshir Baladinim Adim Lefanecha Yu Benecha Kirushoim. Should make up your mind in advance who's right and who's wrong. How do you know? You should think, you should consider both of them as Rishayim. Just because one has a better reputation than the other, in this case, maybe the one with the wonderful reputation is wrong. He's not all. People make honest mistakes. Not everybody's honest also. So you should treat them both as Rishayim. They quote that some tzaddikim had a practice when they had a din Torah, they would put, the Gemara says, Dayanim should be batifa. They should put the talus over the head when you have a din Torah out of respect for the Shechina, because the Pasuk says, Lakim nitzah ba'daskel. The Shechina will be present to help the Dayanim that they shouldn't make a mistake in paskening. So some Talmid HaChacham would have the practice that would put the talus over the heads in order that they wouldn't be able to see the baledinim. Because Asil Histakel Befnei Adam Rasha, and the Mishnah says, Yubaynecha Kirushayim, you should treat the both Baladinim as Rishayim. Pashta says that that is not a proper practice, that you shouldn't look at the Baladinim, because we want the Baladinim to explain in their own words what their version of the story is, and you have to look at the body language. When a person tells a story, you have to look, does he look like he's telling the truth, or does he look like he's telling a lie? So that's part of the what he presents. When he presents his version of the story, you have to ask him a lot of questions. You have to look at the body language as well. It's not right to have such a tzidkis, a midas chasidus, not to look at the baladinim. You're not going to come up with the right answer. Now they have a new shtick, that they have a toein. So the baldin just sits. I remember once someone asked me to be present when they had it in Torah. So the baldin sits like this with their hands folded, and the toein presents the story. The toein wasn't there. He doesn't know what happened. He doesn't know what didn't happen. So he can say with a straight face, his client said this. But if the client would present his story himself, he'd be able to look at his body language and to see, that's part of the judgment, to see, does he look like he's telling the truth? Does he look like he's telling a lie? That's against the din. To have tohanim is against the din. It's a terrible practice.
What does Jimmy do when there's a din and they're trying to use a tohanim?
Here in the yeshiva, we used to have dinei Torah. We didn't allow any tohanim. We never allowed tohanim. Okay, there's much more to Perek Aleph, but it's a quarter after 10. Have a nice day, everybody. I think next tomorrow, Rabbi Reese is giving a presentation, and then on Tuesday I'll speak. I think Tuesday I'm speaking at 9:50 also, because I have to leave early. Okay. I apologize for today being so early. I have to leave. There's a conference on Rabbanim.